everybody, and welcome to Broadcast Urantia. My name's Jay. Today we've got Michael back with us from Hawaii on the line. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Jay.
And how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm not bad. Just to start with, I just wanted to point out that recently I was in a group on Facebook and had some very interesting conversations with a few people out there. One of the conversations that stands out in my mind, and I was hoping that maybe you could shed some light on it, was a question by this lady who had asked about cosmic mind, and she said, what is cosmic mind and how does it grow?
That's an interesting question, because it's a general statement, the idea of the cosmic mind. Mm-hmm. Cosmic consciousness, first of all, brings our conscious level above that of our planetary life, which goes beyond planetary existence. You see, when we graduate from being basically animalistic in nature, we ascend through a hierarchy of basic human needs. As children, we look for safety and security, and our parental associations help us develop through those stages of safety and need and security and shelter, clothing and things like that, and intelligence development and education, and those things help, as well as moving up towards having a certain amount of freedom to think beyond the need of the base organic man, the existence. And when you move into the higher realm, you begin to think beyond life, beyond this life, purpose of life, looking for the answers, you might say. So this cosmic consciousness ever wants to find the cosmic mind, because in the cosmic mind are much of the answers. However, at a certain age, generally very young, for our planet, we share in a wonderful gift from divinity, essentially a divine fragment of the fractal of divinity within us, the thought adjuster, which comes to us in various ways, most of the time without much association to us. We find a way that we find it difficult to associate and have the adjuster befriend us, because most of the times it is a virgin adjuster. As our development proceeds, we find ways in which our cosmic consciousness taps into the adjuster's mind, the cosmic mind. The adjuster's mind is a cosmic mind, essentially coming from divinity or the divine area, where there is access to the higher realms of consciousness, and even to the halls of all knowledge. Those halls of all knowledge has been given many names, and one of them that is very important to understand is the Supreme Being, because the knowledge base is more than a library. The living being of immense experience, because it records all experience. This is, you might say, part, or in a sense, the recording part of the cosmic mind, the active mind, which is more than the memory part, which is hidden directly within the Supreme Being, the cosmic memory of all things and experience of all things, that literal life plays the entire realm of life experience for individuals that are innumerable in my level of understanding, because just going and giving you a bunch of zeros is not all that easy to equate to the immensity of this cosmic consciousness in terms of the memory. But also with that is one of the most wonderful of all, which is the divine sharing, the divinity, the sharing of the cosmic mind. This is a level in which we can share that same mind that is present, and that was definitely present in Jesus Christ and his walk. He shared that, and later was able, through another invigorating power that has been lent to us, which is the spirit of truth, knowledge, of that having knowledge and wisdom. These are mindful gifts that have been associated with the descent and as well as the ascent of Christ coming to planet Earth, and he gifted that. It is something that has taken place probably in its entirety or its ubiquitousness about our planet. It has been shared because of his incarnation here, and then of course his ascent away from here, in which allowed for his being replaced essentially by that cosmic mind. Mm-hmm. Many people wonder about it and give that cosmic mind many names, but it is an association. The Holy Spirit is really the common name for the cosmic mind. So that is probably easier sometimes, because we get different ways of trying to label it, to stay away from religion, to stay away from the tried and true, because sometimes religion has been far too often reinterpreted for various levels of human control. Mm-hmm. So, but in its more pure essence, where that reinterpretation of truth has not been invigorated within its doctrines and stances, it has the more pure essence of the spiritual mind, the cosmic mind. So when we look at the cosmic mind, we look at much more than just one mindful area. It is an association of an immense knowledge base of truth. That's why wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, has an association through this tremendous mindful repository of experience that finds itself embedded in the Supreme Being, and that which associates to us through the channel of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us the trickles of knowledge that we need in order to overcome the obstacles that sometimes impede our ascent and our development, but not necessarily, because we essentially find attunement through continual association, and through that continual association with the adjuster, the divinity within us, through, of course, the the gateway that was presented to us by Christ himself, making that way, mm-hmm. that we might be actually Christ-like, or having the Christ in us, the divine fractal, operating without being superseded by our own will. In other words, our cosmic mind is becoming more and more astute, able to integrate into our own conscious minds, or human mind melds with the cosmic mind, or melds with the consciousness of divinity, and we gain association, gain inventiveness, we gain many of the things that we desire. and we'll find levels of wisdom and experience that we could not find within our life experience, but are associated there through direct influence of our unique gifts that are ours to keep and to forever associate with, and then later on to realize in terms of complete fusion and becoming one with. And this glorification process, you know, is been talked about all circles, whether it be Christian, ancient, or archaic, Hinduism, Buddhism, many Shintoism, all these talk about that. So they're associated with different words, but mean the same thing. Anyway, that's a bit of the answer. Is there any more gaps that you need to be filled there, Jay?
Would I be right in looking at it as, is cosmic mind also a sort of level of Morancha awareness? Would that be equivalent, or?
The true cosmic mind is purely spiritual. It has no bearing in terms of the weightedness of being impeded by physical existence. So mind has a non-responsiveness to, first of all, gravity circuits, and a non-responsiveness to time. So the cosmic mind truly is beyond that. So it is, in a Morancha sense, part of our development, because we must access the cosmic mind through the gateway that is spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual gateway gives us insight into the Morancha, because we, through our soul plane, across the plane of our soul, which is our Morancha right now, using spiritual tools, are assembling essentially eternal being, which is ourselves and divinity. And that assembly is unique. Every individual is unique. And that is the wonderful thing about our ascension career, or the way we ascend, is that we end up being unique individuals. Truly individuals, yet bearing the imprints of our origin, both our mortal, organic origin, as well as our divine origin. This is really a wonderful part of our development, but we cannot lose this base organic origin point, because then the whole program stops. The purpose of life, essentially the purpose of life here on our planet, which we should be just concerned about. We can be concerned about the greater whole of the universe, but since we live in our planet Dhirancha, and our life moves through its realm of time and space, this is our association and our development point. And we can keep certain parts of it in terms of what can be shared in upon the plane of the spiritual existence, and to the essentially to the Supreme. So we end up with this wonderful construct that we must live in order to build it. So we cannot just attain the cosmic consciousness and say we've attained. We've got to live.
I have another question. That was a topic of conversation in the Urantia group, and that is the question of the architectural sphere near Saturn. Now, some people have said, well, the Urantia book points out that this sphere, the Jerusalem, is supposed to be located outside of our universe somewhere else. And my response to that was basically, well, number one, our solar system is different. We actually had a creator sun come here, so it would be logical to have some type of sphere within our solar system, just for that reason alone, especially if he's coming back for the second time. And so that's my response. And I wanted you to perhaps give your perspective on things.
Well, first of all, the Urantia book only mentions Jerusalem, the capital of Satania. It is the new Jerusalem. Again, it is the new Jerusalem, as well as New York is located in the United States, and York is in England. So if you were to look at New Jerusalem, it can be located anywhere else from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it is, and that's the name, and I got confused with that name. My question in the group of students, star students, celestial students, as well as Dano, who was sitting in the class, helping me understand a lot of this cosmic knowledge, was just a basic question, which was, what is this place? And one of them stood up, got up and said with a high voice, it's called New Jerusalem. Oh, and I said, oh, Jerusalem. We got a Jerusalem on Earth, you know, and is it like that? And this is, oh, it's called Jerusalem, but both, it's the capital of Satania. And I said, what did you say? Satania? Satan? And then I started trembling a bit, thinking, wait a minute, maybe I'm with the wrong group here, because all of these people are not human, you know, 90% of what appeared to me at the time, the Dano was in human form. And it was later explained to me that Satania was the capital of Jerusalem's capital of Satania. Satania is essentially a part of where our solar system is located.
Nebadon.
And all of that was kind of shaking me up. And then Dana walked over, and he began in earnest to give me the picture of it is okay. The rebellion that has been terminated, you know, the concept of it. He gave me, not necessarily in those words, but it's okay. Don't worry and fear not. Don't be afraid of where you're at. Understand this, that this is the new Jerusalem, and it points to the same place, the capital. And it is important to understand, although it will not take the place of the capital of Satania, it will be an extremely important location, and is an important location. So the Jerusalem on planet Earth and the new Jerusalem within our solar system right now orbiting Saturn is both essentially having a kind of concept of pointing to the same place, which is the perfected capital of Satania. Mm-hmm. And actually the New Jerusalem is a architectural sphere of the category of a creator sun sphere, architectural sphere. And a creator sun architectural sphere emanates light. It is one which is luminous. Other bodies, including the Jerusalem architectural sphere, are non-luminous. They're dark bodies because they don't give off light. And they are of the origin, which many times are in association with the development of, you might say, civilized universe, occupied universe. But the wonderful thing that has happened with the New Jerusalem is that it has got that luminescence, and that is its distinguishing feature, saying that it is of the creator sun architectural sphere category or class. Therefore, we are blessed. It further confirms the blessings that we have about having the creator sun, Michael of Nebadon, Jesus Christ, and his many hundreds of different names that he goes within the Bible itself, the names of Jesus, I think, are in the hundreds of different names that are associated with Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the gift of bright and warning, it just continues on and on. Literally, lists of hundreds of different names and variants, all pointing to the same being. And so this question was just a little bit more than just perhaps misunderstanding in terms of, you're telling me that the Jerusalem architectural sphere is in this, well, the Jerusalem architectural sphere would probably be somewhat in the diameter of this entire solar system.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's actually quite a different architectural sphere, because it's quite enormous.
So this sphere here is very unique in that it also gives off light where the majority of them don't, and that it is connected to the sphere in the system capital, the Jerusalem.
Right, the New Jerusalem is not only connected to the capital sphere of Jerusalem capital, but it is uniquely like a summer home, you might say, for the universe creator.
Mm-hmm.
It is a castle in the countryside for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you might say. It has the features of being like a spaceport where many, many star students come to study the entire story. And the most important, many of them repented. In other words, many of those have turned away from the Luciferian doctrine and have come forth to understand more closely the fault of rebellion. But not only the fault, but to clarify and many times understand more closely the unseen or unthought about effects upon our planet and having it more unique tones, because there's many things that we have here that are embellishments in terms of life's pattern and civilization's pattern. Therefore, we're right now continually being nurtured, essentially gardened by the higher ups who want to keep us at least flourishing and not being totally destroyed. So, and the rest of the universe gaining experience through the study of Urantia.
Well,
and you have to remember also, it's very important, well, the reason, one of the things that gives me confidence, at least in understanding the Urantia book, is the way that Dano expressed things to me and then said that, in part, the Urantia book explains some of the things going on in the New Jerusalem as well as in the domain of where they live, their domain of the eternal progress sector of universe, sentient life. And the Urantia book was introduced to me by the Dano as the Book of Earth, and then the name was specified as the Urantia book. And when I study the Urantia book, I study it from a perspective of having been with the Celestials and look for ways in which they are now classified, and those things in which I experienced are mentioned within the realm of the Urantia book. So I'm not using it in terms of a learning experience only, but as one in which is a confirming and categorizing way of being able to explain some of the things in which I was able to find them in the Urantia book. And one of them was, of course, the architectural sphere sun, or creator sun sphere, which has a luminescence. Another thing was things like my guide, which is a celestial guide or a graduate guide. This was an interesting thing because as soon as I found graduate guides, I remember him saying it to me, and I said, "You graduated? You look like you're 10 years old." And, well, you know, he mentioned I'm a lot older than that, and also a lot older than you are. And these things are found within the realm of the Urartia book. So I'm not using the Urartia book as most people would use the Urartia book who are not finding their experience within it by finding, but from the reverse angle, from using it as a learning tool to delve into the areas in which they have not experienced. So I am an experiencer using the Urartia book to help classify it, to free the minds and the ability and the souls of those who are exploring its words and places and descriptions, and allowing you to at least come to a point where you can understand that it is approved of sorts, at least by this one Dano. I forgot his name, but then again, you know, I never remembered anybody's name over there very much. I did remember certain classifications and those people who are mentioned in the Urartia book, such as the Veranda Deck Most Highs. Now, they didn't have names, I think. They were... Anyway, that was another one of the most extreme of all. It was actually the acme of my experience there, the pinnacle. So, anyway,
well,
this is pretty much my answer toward the understanding in terms of Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem and architectural spheres in the Urartia book as a whole.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. And it does make good sense. Now, from your experiences on the sphere, you and both Michael, or my apologies, Riley, you guys both say that it was an educational experience. Now, I know you've said in the past that you know, there were different levels, and you passed all the levels as you went up to meet more higher order beings. And that sounds like exactly what they did in the Jerusalem, or whatever the purpose of the Jerusalem. It has all the levels in one place, versus, you know, like how the mansion worlds have, they're just one level, and you keep graduating from one world to another until you hit the Jerusalem. And so my understanding is the Jerusalem does the same things. Now, your experience was very similar to that. You went through a lot of different levels. Could you perhaps shed some light on that?